1-800-449-8686.
Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is joining us right now from Hawthorne, California. Jay, thank you for joining us. The question of sex offenders moving into a neighborhood has been on the minds of residents in this country for a good many years. So ever since we have been allowed access to websites and information telling us when sex offenders are moving into a neighborhood, you were called out, or you sent some of your people from the Citizens Auxiliary Police out to a, was it a disturbance?
Phil, what we found out was there was a group of residents, in Dunson Park, who had gathered in front of the individual's home.
Now, my understanding, you and other members of your volunteer group that went over to... When we say your volunteer group, your volunteer police group?
Well, we don't like to hit that too hard, being a volunteer police group. Police do a good job. They let a lot of things fall through the cracks. We are Citizens Auxiliary Police. We do identify ourselves with Blue Armband. And it's really, we go out to areas where we feel there is a need. And at that time, we had heard, I know Janine Pomeroy and also Kathleen Hopper, I know both these ladies... they were verbally abusive to us when we went out there.
Okay, those two women I'm not aware of.
I'm sorry, Phil. These are two women who we did use some passive detention with. But the point is, I guess what you're trying to get to is why we went out there. Is that correct?
Yeah. Is this the home of a former sex offender?
That is correct, Phil. This is a gentleman whose name I'm not at liberty to divulge. We have dealt with this situation in varying degrees for a number of years. In 1996, Major Elvis Newton formulated and formed the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If I could, I could explain a little bit about this.
Well, I just want to get the facts first. The residents were out there. Were they manhandling this man? Were they throwing things at his house?
Well, there was a little bit of a disturbance. They apparently had attempted to block him from entering his vehicle. I had been called... a couple of choice names.
And you were out there to try to get these neighbors not to hassle this guy.
That is absolutely correct. And one of the reasons why, Phil, is Operation Meet and Greet, which is something that we have been formulating for quite some time. And this is what I wanted to talk about, and I don't know if it's anything you all talk about. But I'd like to talk about this if I could.
All right, well, Operation Meet and Greet is what? Tell me about that, but I want to get into more of the details of this, the sex offender that has moved into this area, this Dunson Park area.
Well, Meet and Greet, Phil, was formulated by myself and Major Elvis Newton. My brother Carl was remanded to Colfax Men's Colony in 1988, not 1989, because Court City touched on a girl at a school he's doing maintenance for. Now, I know my brother Carl. He's a good guy. We enjoy going out to Kings games, go out to hockey games, this kind of nonsense. I think a lot of people jump the gun on the molestation deal. I do not excuse the behavior. Well, you're clear about that. I do not excuse the behavior. But I do know a number of these men socially. And
well, how do you know a number? Are you talking about you know a number of sex offenders?
Well, my brother Carl attends a number of meetings for him to, I guess you retrain your thinking so you don't want to touch a kid or what have you. But I've met a lot of these gentlemen. I've socialized with them. Carl is a good guy.
Where is your brother living now? Does he live in a neighborhood like this?
No, he does not.
Where does he live?
My brother right now is living with some property that my father wants him to clear. My father owns a piece of property up in Clear Lake area, and Carl's living on the property, clearing the property right now for him.
And you don't want to mention the name of the guy who's living in this neighborhood?
I do not want to do all his name, but the point of meet and greet, if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
I think it's, yeah. Incumbent upon people in neighborhood. When a sex center moves in, it's a bad... I understand that they want to react negatively. We would like to see people get to know the guy, what we call meet and greet, have a coffee or this kind of thing.
Oh, come on. I mean, Jay, having a coffee for a guy like that...
Well, if you can sit down with a guy, fine. If you meet my brother Carl, you find he's a great guy. And
your brother Carl, how long was he in prison for?
My brother Carl was 4 years.
Was he castrated or chemically cat?
No, the court does not cat. We didn't feel it was fair in Carl's case, in case you want to go out on a date later on with like an adult or something, to castrate a man if you want to go out on a date. But what we feel is important is that before you jump the gun in the whole molestation deal, you know, you get to know some of these people. They have wide-ranging interests. And there's no need to begin to try to chase them out of neighborhoods, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, Jay Santos joins us. Our number 1-800-449-8686. You know, I saw a story today, Jay, in the paper about a former sex offender moving into a neighborhood in Washington State. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did not, Phil.
All right. That article talked at great length about the discomfort of the citizens. Doesn't that have to be taken into consideration, people who are concerned for the safety of their children when a sex offender moves into the area?
Well, you say it needs to be taken into consideration. I think we've taken into consideration the feelings of these families long enough. I'm not saying that we shouldn't continue to, but I think it's like I'm getting a headache hearing all about these families. You have concerns, families have concerns. Of course they have concerns. But one of the reasons why these sex offenders will reoffend is because they feel hassled by the neighborhood they're in. But people that sit down with them, my brother Carl Phil has one of the largest train collections on the West Coast. He's got a model train collection on the West Coast. Now, you socialize with enough of these people. You know,
who wants to socialize with a sex offender? Tell me who these people are that want to sit down and socialize with them.
Well, what I'm trying to say to you is this is information I have that you don't have. All right.
You have the experience with your brother.
That is correct. And it's information I have that your listeners don't have. So your listeners right away think sex offender is bad person, and yes, he is. Yes, I will grant you that. Yes, he is. But there's another side to the sex offender. A lot of them are well-read. Most of them are well-traveled. They know about music. They know about good restaurants. And if you...
So in other words, when a sex offender moves into the neighborhood, you have a... What do? You knock on his door and say, hi, I hear you're the sex offender?
No, of course you do. You simply say, Mr. So-and-so, we are aware of your past. We certainly are concerned about it. But we'd like to hear what else you're interested in.
We'd like to hear what else you're interested in besides molesting kids?
Well, in some way, get his mind off of the whole molestation deal. The neighborhood can say, well, let's come on and have barbecue or this kind of a deal.
Then he won't think about molesting kids as much.
Well, that's what I figured out the other night. I kind of wrote this down, and I'm thinking about doing a pamphlet on it because I think it makes a lot of sense. I said to my wife, doesn't this make sense to you? When a sex offender moves into the neighborhood, if you have him over for a beer or you have him over for barbecue and this kind of nonsense, then he doesn't think about touching no kid. And that's what I told these people in front of the house, and that's what I told them to disperse.
You do not have the legal right to tell people to disperse, do you, because you're a volunteer police officer?
Well, I've got citizen's arrest power.
Okay, but that doesn't give you the legal right to tell people who have gathered in front of a child molester's house to disperse, does it?
I do have citizen's arrest power.
Okay, that's not answering my question.
I think I am answering your question. I tell them to disperse, or I will exercise citizen's arrest, which does include passive detention.
Yep. Well, you took that one woman's purse. The lady who was in front of the house, and I believe she referred to you as a faggot or something, is that right?
That is correct. That is Ms. Pomeroy. She said, you and your faggot friends get out of here. And we had clearly marked blue armbands. And I said, you're causing disturbance in front of this house. And she said at that time, well, this is a child molester lives in there. And I said to her at that time, I did inform her at that time to please watch her language because my brother was a child molester. And I said at that time, would you please watch your language and do not offend me because my brother was at a Atascadero for 4 years on account of he touched this kid. And that's when she said, well, you and your faggot friends get out of here. And I had a blue armband on. I was clearly marked as citizens auxiliary police. And that's when we did do passive detention, which includes taking her purse so that she cannot leave the area. And I wanted her clearly in the area. But now that she was causing a disturbance, we had to do passive detention.
You stole her purse.
I'm sorry, no, Phil, I didn't.
Well, you took the woman's purse from her, so she couldn't do anything but stay there until she could get her purse back.
We did not steal her purse. We gave it back to her once she agreed to clear our area.
So, Jay, the answer to this problem is rather than gather in front of a sex offender's home, it's to, as best as I can tell, have a barbecue for them? I mean, because what you're saying...
Well, it's not having a barbecue. What I'm saying is, I know about these people because my brother Carl. Carl, yeah, was a child molester. He also has one of the largest train collections on the West Coast.
Yeah, I got it all about Carl with the large train collection on the West Coast. I'm just saying... You want them to...
It's a meet and greet or a coffee or something whereby you can sit down with these people and realize that besides being interested in kids, they also enjoy good wine, They also are involved in car collecting. They may be, they may have a business on the side. I met a guy who was in a Atascadero for 10 years for assaulting a variety of boys over a 15-year period, and yet he had one of the most fantastic car collections I've ever seen. He had about 15 car garage. It was wonderful, just wonderful.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police was has joined us and is telling us about a group of people who gathered in front of a sex offender's house down in Hawthorne, demanding that he get out of the neighborhood. Mr. Santos went down there with his Citizens Auxiliary Police and told them to disperse. He also, and I got to hand it to him, was honest enough to say that his brother Carl was in Atascadero for 5 years for molesting a kid, and that sex offenders, once you get to know them, can be fascinating people and maybe, just maybe, should be embraced into the neighborhood. I don't know if he specifically spelled out, and I don't know if you heard it or not, Chris, having a barbecue for these people or a coffee klatch or, you know, once you realize that a sex offender's moved into your neighborhood, go around with a welcome wagon basket and explain to them, you know, you want to know a little bit more about them. He says that'll get their mind off of kids. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us, and we are talking about a neighborhood in Hawthorne where apparently a sex offender has moved in. You don't want to give me the guy's name, though, right, Jay? I mean, is this...
Well, no, it's not something that I consider all we've just been through. I think the man is entitled to his privacy. I think he's entitled to it.
Well, I'm sure the people that live there are going to want to... broadcast his name.
Well, we've told them in so many words that we're not going to allow that.
Well, how can you stop them from doing this, Jay? First of all, you are with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a volunteer police agency.
Let me explain to you again, Phil, because I don't know if the impact of this is fully being appreciated by yourself or the listeners. My brother Carl did 5 years at Atascadero State Prison for the criminally insane. On account of he touched some boys, you know, over about a 12-year period back in the 80s. And I said to him, you know, it's wrong. He knows it's wrong. He's done his debt to society. He had...
Well, how do you know he hasn't reoffended?
He hasn't been arrested. And
well, you said that they did not chemically castrate him. He didn't opt for any of that stuff.
No. You got to understand, if you want to go out on a date with an adult... You do not want to go out and get yourself castrated. Okay, so what we came up with, and it's a very revolutionary idea, if a child molester moves into your neighborhood, what we have decided you should do is introduce yourself, see if there's any common interests. And
oh, my God. The guy's molesting kids.
Well, the guy's out of jail. I'm just trying to solve the problem. We're just trying to save lives, that's all.
So see if there's any common interest between you and the guy that's moved in who used to molest kids.
That is the beginning step. Because I tell you, my brother Carl and I go to hockey games. He has one of the largest collections of model trains on the West Coast. We share a lot in common. I realize, you know, we have more in common than we don't have. The only thing we don't have in common is the fact that he likes to touch kids. And that's not really that doesn't really ring my bell. So what we're trying to...
You realize we're talking about child molestation when you use terms like ring my bell.
Mr. Henry, I'm in law enforcement. Maybe I'm not that well spoken.
Well, it's a cavalier phrasing, if you don't mind.
Well, what I'm saying is that's not how I get my jollies. That's all I'm saying.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Their new idea, Operation Meet and Greet, if a sex offender moves in to your neighborhood rather than try to get them out, do you have any common interests? Get to know them, and perhaps you'll find that other than that sex offender thing, you like them. Here is Leslie on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Leslie.
Hi, I've been a volunteer for the local rape crisis center here in Denver for about 3 years now.
Brian, was this Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police? How do you do?
Hi.
Yes,
all right. I'd just like to make the point that I don't necessarily think it's going to help matters if you have the sex offender over for a party. Basically, what you're doing is you're ignoring the issue. You're ignoring the fact that they are, in fact, a sex offender and that they are, in fact, a sick person, regardless of whether or not they've been let out and they've been released into the general public, which I don't believe they should be.
Well,
I think what's going to happen is if you have them over for a barbecue,
my brother Carl,
you have the whole community over, they're going to be scoping out the next victim.
My brother Carl was in and out of mental institutions for 12 years, but he's out now, and I tell you, he's a hell of a guy. He's a lot of laughs. And
you know, I'm really sorry that you have to have a brother who's gone through this, but...
Yes, ma'am. Yes, go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm listening to you. I just want you to know my brother Carl has a wide variety of interests. He's traveled to wine country in France. He is.
All right, but we're talking about this horrible crime he committed against kids.
Right. I don't want to ignore the issue.
You guys want to keep hitting that over the head.
Go ahead, Leslie. This is Phil Henry. You were going to say?
I wouldn't want you to approach this by ignoring the issue here is that what they have done. And
well, this is Jay Santos. Did you say you're one of these sociology deals, or what do you do?
I volunteer for the Rape Crisis Center.
You got a Rape Crisis Center? That's where gals call when a guy gets out of hand, or what? How does that happen?
That's where, yes.
Calls.
Yeah.
I work with victims.
All right. What I'm trying to say is, a lot of these guys, I've socialized with them, they're bad people. They did a bad thing. But you can sit down and have a wide variety of topics to converse with them. The average sex offender, for instance, it's funny to hear this, but the average sex offender also happens to be knowledgeable about foods, wines, things like that.
But that's irrelevant.
Who cares? Yeah.
What they've done. What I'm getting at is if you have a barbecue, they're going to be scoping out the neighborhood, seeing where the little kids are, and seeing how they can get in your house.
Not if it's an adults only party. The only thing he's going to be scoping out is your wife, and you know if she's wearing a tight pair of pants, that kind of a deal.
Well, then even so, I mean, do you want him doing that? Do you want him scoping out ways to get into your home?
I would much rather have him have his way with my wife than with my kid.
Well,
right now.
A sex offender, children or adult sexual assault, regardless.
See. Fact is, Leslie, rape is a totally different bird than this molestation kind of a thing. That's all the deal.
Look, Leslie, thank you for your call.
Not on the victim.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Same,
it's the same effect.
Trauma.
Same effect. Thank you for calling. 1-800-449-8686. You'd much rather have him have your wife?
Yeah, my wife consented. Absolutely. If it kept him from touching on a kid, I'd have my wife parading around in negligee and the whole enchilada.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Alice, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know the name of your guest, I forgot his name, but sir, you are really undereducated about sexual predators of any sort, whether it's a rapist of adult women or a pedophile.
A pedophile is?
What is a pedophile?
Yeah, what is that?
It's a person who sexually molests
children. That's exactly what we're talking about.
I hadn't heard that term. Carl's my brother.
Yes, I know Carl is your brother, and he has a wonderful train collection. I'm telling you, you are living in a vacuum, and you need to go and get educated, because I don't know where you live that you can have a
plan. I don't know. You haven't told me how I'm not educated. All you've done is to say I'm not educated.
Let me tell you how you're not educated.
My brother Carl.
You're not educated.
Okay, hold on.
You don't know that
Alice, hold on. We're going to take a break. I'll get to your call, but I got to take a break here. And Jay, you as well. Jay Santos with Operation Meet and Greet from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If a child molester moves into your neighborhood, how about a barbecue? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I understand. Do you have tape of yourself at this gathering, Jay? Do you have tape of yourself at this demonstration of these, I guess, these neighbors?
I actually do, Phil. We do carry a handheld tape recorder. I've got a pick up Panasonic over here at Leo Stereo and tape this gal calling me. And I'm quoting, and again, I do not want to offend any of your listeners. But this gal, she walks up to me, big as life, says, "Hey, why don't you and your faggots call me a faggot?" So I got that on tape.
Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. He broke up a demonstration in front of a sex offender's house, a man released from prison. And you say the way to deal with the problem is rather than demonstrate in front of their houses, have some kind of a neighborhood coffee or barbecue and get to know them. 1-800...
You say that with sarcasm, Phil.
No, sir, I'm quoting exactly what you said. 1-800-449-8686. Let me get back to Alice, who we had to preempt a little bit there for our break.
Okay.
Go ahead, Alice.
I would like to ask Jay, do you have any children?
Do I have any children? I didn't hear the question, Phil.
Do you have any children?
Oh, yes, I do. I have a 12-year-old son.
You have a 12-year-old son.
Totally
cool. If I were you, I would be really careful about my 12-year-old son. Because your wife could be parading around naked in front of your new neighbor, and he would not care one hoot. But he might be very interested in your 12-year-old son.
I'm the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and unless you're associated, you're in Madison, Wisconsin, is that my understanding?
That is correct.
All right, unless you're associated with the Badger Brigade or the Madison Simulated Police, I don't know what your expertise is.
What's the Badger Brigade?
That is a volunteer.
Is that I am a self-read person.
Oh, so you read a lot. Okay, great.
Let me ask you this.
Alice.
My brother Carl.
To help you out here.
My brother Carl is. My brother Carl was in Atascadero for 12 years because he touched a kid.
Yes.
But ever since then, he's been out. He has held down a number of jobs. A missions trade collection. He also has a large film collection.
All right, we got to move on, Alice. Thanks. 1-800-449-8686. He's got a large train collection and he has a large film collection.
That's correct.
Here's Alex. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, Jay.
Yes, ma'am. It's Jay Sanders.
Hi, my name is Alex. I'm actually pregnant with twins right now, and I've just caught the show.
Well, congratulations on that. My wife and I have a son, and we had a daughter, but she's moved out.
Thank you. And I do understand what you're proposing.
We had issues with her, you know.
My question to you is that with what you're proposing, I have a really strong feeling that most parents or parents-to-be or conscious parents
That's correct.
Are going to be very, very wary of letting,
right.
first of all, socializing with someone and not looking at their past, not letting that overshadow their, you know, their concern.
Kind of control out over to Dad. Well, if I could play out, so I got a piece of tape if you want.
Okay.
Alex, this is me at the gathering. These are neighbors who are hassling this guy down here in Dunson Park. If you could hear this, I'm going to roll this. You're going to hear what these people said. Down there. Did you hear that, Alex?
Yes, I do.
I was called a faggot. Go ahead.
No, that was inappropriate, and they probably were angry. I'm not defending what they said to you.
I understand.
But listen, my point to you is, do you really, I mean, if you were in their shoes, would you blame them? I mean, say,
Absolutely.
I mean, you would probably have the guy's head, right?
Well, if anybody touched my son, my young boy, his 12 years old, means the world. If you touch him, I'll tell you something right now. Katie, bar the door. Yeah, you better run. Yeah, don't walk.
Exactly,
you better run. Right?
Exactly.
So here's the thing.
Understand that you have...
And that
you know,
is
you're
me.
Thinking about your brother, and I understand that you're...
Right, right.
You're trying to help him, and he's sick.
You bet. My brother is a sick animal, but I got to tell you something. If you sat down with him, Alex, for an afternoon, have a cup of coffee or a cocktail, you'd...
If she did?
But you'd have to always be having that in the back of your mind.
Right.
Because you do not know what they're thinking.
What he did.
All right. I
want to
play this piece of tape for Phil and for you, Alex, one more time, because this is from a different angle at this demonstration in front of the house. All right, you heard the language used.
Yes, it is.
I was called a fag and a queer and all this nonsense.
No, and I disagree. That was not
Jay, let me ask you, Alex, I want to jump in. Jay, what's worse, a child being molested or you being called a faggot?
Right. Exactly.
Well, what do you mean? You guys, do you want to be called a queer?
Who, me?
Of course
I don't. So, you know, I could go either way on that one.
7. Wait a second. I just said to you, what's worse, a kid being molested or you being called a queer?
The kid has his entire life to get over it. I'm an adult man. Excuse me? I'm just saying, a guy walks up to me and says, let's play the tape one more time.
I heard that.
No, I want just one more time. That other group of fans over there.
Jay, can I ask you something?
Did you hear the tape there, ma'am? Guy told me to kiss his rear area.
Okay, Jay, these people are scared and they're angry.
Yes, yes.
Don't you understand that?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing that needs to be said here is that they do possibly need information rather than emote. And
no, they don't need information. They need to sit down, have a cup of coffee, a little tri-tip.
Get out of here. Oh, look, Alex, thank you for your call.
Thank you for having me.
Your bet. 1-800-4... A cup of coffee and some tri-tip, huh?
All I'm saying is, you get one of these sick creeps moving into your neighborhood, we want to, you string the guy up from the nearest tree, you don't lynch him, that means I gotta, you know, then law enforcement gets involved. Or do you want to sit down with him and find out if you have any common interests? Baseball, football, ballet.
And do what, man? Spend the afternoon rapping about that?
It keeps his mind off of touching your kid. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Isabella, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Isabella?
Yes, hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Hello. Hi, Jason?
The name is Jay, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry, Jay. Okay, Jay, sorry. I want to make this point. Molestation is ruining a child's life forever. It will ruin the child's future relationships. It will be hard for them to have sexual relationships with their mate.
I'm not disagreeing with that, ma'am.
Well, then it is serious, and it seems that it's not being taken seriously. And you made the comment, a child has his entire life to get over a molestation.
Well, what I'm saying is, if a guy walks up to me
that's
and says...
That's exactly what a child is going to need their entire life. How can you go...
That's a good point. This is something that lasts...
But it's not okay. Because why should a child...
Listen, I want you to listen very carefully to this tape. This is from the demonstration of the other day. Like a fairy to me. Now, you heard that.
Absolutely.
Guy calls me a fairy and all this
Absolutely.
Nonsense.
Absolutely. And guess what? If the child that was molested could express himself, I bet you he would call that molester a queer in a fact.
No, well, Jay was called
but
that.
But the poor child can't even probably express himself. That is not fair.
I want to ask a question here,
speaking
Jay.
Speaking out for those hurt children that have been molested, who is going to cry and speak out for the hurt child?
Listen to this. Isabella, listen to this. I'm trying to get these people to clear off the street. Here's the tape from, August 3rd.
He was pulling the molester off of the child.
He brings her to me, man. Get out of here. Right, you heard that. I've been called a rump ranger. I've been called a queer.
Screaming. I hear the screaming.
All right, so what I'm trying to say is this. You know, I don't want children to get molested, but I got to tell you something right now. A man called me a rump ranger. That stings.
But you know
it
what?
It stings down deep.
He was there to scream at the man when he was molesting the children.
Yeah,
the
good
children
point.
The children needed somebody to scream out for them, so these people
right.
are upset. And I would not go offer a molester tea, coffee, or anything.
You're
putting my children in danger.
Let me ask you this, Isabella. This is a good question, and you're an intelligent woman.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
What do you love? What do you love in this world? What is an interest that you have? Do you love the dance? Do you love the film? What are the things that gives you?
I love happiness. I love.
Well, no. Just for the sake of our conversation, tell me something specific that you enjoy. Do you have a hobby of some kind? Do you go to school? Do you study history? Do you study...
You know what I do? I work out. I rollerblade.
All right, okay. Let's say you meet a guy, and he's ripped, he's fit, good-looking guy, nice guy, loves to rollerblade, dances great. Turns out he touched a kid. Are you going to just blow the guy off? What if he's got a nice car?
What are you talking about if he's got a nice car?
A person like that, it doesn't matter about the car. It doesn't matter what he likes. He is capable of ruining
All right.
and
Listen to this. Listen to this.
Life.
All right, moving along, Tinkerbell.
Let me ask
right
you a
there.
Question, Jay.
Yes,
do you put a price on someone's life? When you put a price on someone's happiness, that can be neither bought nor sold.
How am I supposed to feel when a guy walks up to me, call me Tinkerbell, tell me move along? I don't even have blonde hair like a Tinkerbell or none of that. Guy tells me Tinkerbell.
You know why they called you Tinkerbell? Because you are taken up for a child molester.
Right, exactly, man. They just want you to move along.
Well, it's an illegal gathering in the street, and it's my job as law enforcement to move along.
You're wearing a blue armband, dude. It's a volunteer police agency.
All right, that stings. That stings, what you just said.
But someone should be understanding of the child. This child's relationships in the future is going to be ruined.
All right, listen.
Their sexual life is going to be ruined.
Isabella.
Because if somebody was so greedy, they could not even go to another adult and get their consent. They had to prey on someone who is defenseless.
I have no mercy
for that person.
Well,
no
you know, and the other thing, too, that you want to keep in mind, Isabella, is if there'd been a girl, put out a little bit more. And
will you get out of here with that stupid thinking?
What?
If a girl had put out more.
That's
you mental
awful.
Case.
Like, can I call me
Jay,
Tinkerbell?
Can I ask you something?
Can I call me Tinkerbell?
Jay, can I ask you something?
Yeah, man.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
I was 11.
Okay, was the girl older than you?
Yes, ma'am. She was
30. Okay, well, now I understand why you were taken up for a molester.
No kidding.
My case is closed. My case is closed, Phil.
Wait a minute. She can't get away with that.
No, she just nailed you, man. She
My
just
case is closed.
She just slammed you. She got the big beat down on you.
Now, hold on. I get the last word.
No, she beat you down with that one, man. All right, thanks a lot, Isabella.
Wait, I want to get the last word. God, why didn't you let me?
I'm sorry.
All right, I want you to listen to this. Got wings, man? I mean, I got wings. Look like Tinkerbell to me. All right, you heard that. On 5 separate occasions.
Oh, you knock it off with your stupid tape. You got more taped evidence of a guy calling you Tinkerbell than you do of a kid getting abused. What do you think of that, Jay?
You know, I'm in the front lines of law enforcement.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and your brother Carl, a former molester, has got a fantastic model train collection.
The guy you're all X-Fist. Look, that lady can't close the case. The only way that case gets closed is when you play Citizens Auxiliary theme song. So I get the last word.
Now, she beat you down, dude. What do you mean you were 11 and she was 30?
Best time of my life. Married her.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
She's Jay Jr.'s mother.
They may be called the state police, state troopers, militia,
or citizens auxiliary police.
Patrol. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Well, that's it. Every time I hear him say that, this little kind of thing happens with him. It's kind of maybe the same kick all these sexual perverts get. I get kind of a kick.
Oh, hang your phone up.
Oh, sorry.
Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. When a child molester moves into your neighborhood, have a meet-and-greet coffee for him. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And later on tonight, Jeff Wagahusky returns. You remember Jeff Wagahusky? He will review the new Star Wars DVD box set. We have gardening tips with Greg Groom and also hurricane fortification tips with Chester Shunt. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is Jeff Dowder going to be with us tonight? Well, I don't know. We'll find out. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Bobby to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight?
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I got some kind of an allergy going around. You can hear that? Can you hear my voice? It's just a little. And Mark isn't even with us tonight. I don't have a cold because I feel great. But all of a sudden last night, everything started getting a little scratchy. So it's one of those. It's one of those occupational hazards, and one must just wade through it. But we do want to thank Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who sounded like he had the same problem. And we also want to remind you that coming up this evening, a number of interesting items will be at your beck and call. Lloyd Bonafide will join us to talk about equal time on radio and television for candidates. Chester Shunt is our carpentry expert. He's going to be talking with us, and we'll also have a visit from our Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers will be the topic of Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, our plastic surgery special here on the Phil Henry Show. Don't remind me. Please don't remind me what I do for a living. No, don't forget to go to the website, www.philhenryshow.com, to pick up a copy of our Best of the Year 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. All the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Coming out very shortly will be our new Best of the Year 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. And it's going to be, once again, two CD collection. This time we will have our very best phone calls and the very best bits or skits from the show. And I'm sure in there will be a number of Art Bells, because I have so many people say, well, can we get the Art Bells? We're going to have them in there for you, baby. And we're going to have Hal and Viola, I'm sure, will be making an appearance on our Best of CD for this year. That's at our website, www.philhenryshow.com. I'm looking at Hurricane Ivan. This is the really big story, obviously, of the hour. Hurricane Ivan, a Category 5 storm, and it's on its way. It looks like, judging by the, you know, the counterclockwise motion of a hurricane, almost as if it's a wheel rolling along, it's going northwest, and it looks like it's going to run right into New Orleans. It looks like it's going to track across Baton Rouge, obviously on up through Mississippi. I mean, I'm not a weather guy, but I'm looking at this storm, and what I'm looking at appears to be a storm that's about, I'll tell you right now, it's 200 miles. It's probably about 150 miles, if that, well, from New Orleans, because I'm using my fingers here to, you know, like, there's Orlando and there's Miami, and I know Orlando and Miami are about 280 miles away from each other, so I'll do this, I'll put the storm there, I'll do that. Yeah, it's about 150 miles away from New Orleans, and the rain, the band of really serious rain is probably about 200 to 300 miles across. And then when you get up into Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi, it's just real bad cloud cover and bad rain. But the real heavy, heavy downpour rain extends up into southern Mississippi and southern Georgia. It sucks. That can't be fun. Well, or maybe it is. I don't know. Well, you certainly don't want people to get hurt, or at least I don't want to get hurt. I guess this is about time that I should tell my New Orleans rain story. Back in 1977, I worked in the city of New Orleans on WNOE-FM, which is now a country music station. And, oh, look, we're just about out of time. Well, I guess you'll have to join me at the beginning of next hour for the resumption of When Phil Got Flooded Out in New Orleans. Oh, yeah, you're going to want to hear this one. May of 77. I'll never forget it. Of course, it's probably just a blip on the freaking radar for the folks down there, but for a white boy from the West Coast, it was like serious monsoon time. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, hurricane fortification tips with Chester Stunt, and, of course, gardening tips with Greg Groom, and who knows what's going to happen with Jeff Wagahusky. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Henry.
Just a few minutes, we will have Chester Shunt on with some hurricane fortification tips. And we will also have gardening tips with Greg Groom, Jeff Wagahusky's new Star Wars DVD box set review. And we have with us this evening Jeff Dowder on things that you should not do during a hurricane, or really any inclement weather that involves electrical storms, as well as Lloyd Bonafide talking about equal time, and our ever-popular plastic surgery segment, Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, with, of course, Sheila Skelly and Dr. Something or Other. What's that cat's name? Dr. Joe what? Joe Jackass? I don't even remember his name. Dr. Joe Yojimbo. Dr. Joe, yo mama. That'll be coming up tonight on our show. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. A story that I commenced at the tail end of last hour that I now would like to finish is the time I was in New Orleans, because we're watching Hurricane Ivan with all kinds of ghoulish delight as it tracks across, I think that's the word they use in the weather world, as it tracks across the Gulf on its way to the innocent people of Louisiana and Mississippi. The rest of us in the country, of course, sit throwing Cracker Jacks into our mouth and tracking it with ghoulish and very, very lightly restrained delight. No, are we concerned? Yes, of course we are. Let's just say we are. Well, you know how it is. It ain't my house, huh? You know. And what's the thing that people always say? They say this every hurricane. Well, why do those dumbasses live down there? You know, you can't. Not everybody can live in California or Hawaii, okay? And, you know, people have been living there for generations, and they know what they're doing. They know how to deal with it. Like me, I could never figure out. I know that we're on in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and I lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul for a year. Personally, I don't like the snow. I'm certainly not going to criticize anybody that likes to live there. That's fine. Me, I don't like it. I ain't gonna live there, man. If I do dig it, I'll live there. See, Florida, I kind of dug Florida when I lived in Florida, but I wouldn't want to put up with hurricanes every summer. So where do I live? I live out here in candy ass California, man. This is where every lightweight lives. There's no weather out here. There's just occasional, eye irritation from smog. And people say, yeah, but you got those earthquakes. Earthquakes. An earthquake happens once every freaking blue freaking moon. Earthquake? The worrying about earthquakes is going to kill you faster than any earthquake's going to happen. People sitting around sweating earthquakes, man, they're going to die of fright if someone farts loud. Oh, what was that? It's just the guy in booth three over here. So I'm down in New Orleans in 77, and it's May, as I recall, in advance of the hurricane season, but what do I know? And I'm asleep, and at the time I was rooming with one of the engineers from the radio station I was at. This radio station was in the French Quarter. A lot of people don't know that the French Quarter of New Orleans is built on the highest piece of ground around there. That was generally, I guess, what those people did when they moved down to Louisiana. They looked around and they saw nothing but swamps and vampires. They said, well, hell, I don't know. What do you want to do here, Charlie? Well, let's build a house. What do you mean, build a house, man? There's a river. Well, let's put it on that high piece of ground. All right. What the hell are we going to do here? Well, we can build a, how about a brothel? Okay. And next thing you know, we got New Orleans. So the station I was working at was in the Quarter, what we call the Quarter. And I was living over on the West Bank at a place called Algiers. All of a sudden, and when I say I was rooming with one of the engineers at the station, she was a chick. He was a she, and she was like 24 and really hot. And guess what? Her boyfriend was some ripped biker from Miami who'd visit like every 2 weeks. So it was one of those things where, why did I let myself in for this? Not only that, but she walked around nude in the apartment. And I'm going, okay, does God hate me that much? Why don't you just go ahead and go for it, Phil? And when the biker finally beats you into submission with several lengths of chain, you could at least say you lived a little. But I didn't. So she wakes me up. She says, Phil, what? We got to let so-and-so and his wife in from downstairs. I said, why? Because they're about a foot of water in their apartment. I go, what are you talking about, man? I remember waking up about 7 a.m. because in those days I got off at 10 at night. I'd come home just in time to have a little Popeye's fried chicken and watch the Johnny Carson show while my cat stole a piece of chicken from the bag when I went to get something to drink. So it's like 7 a.m. I hear rain falling on whatever. I roll over, go back to sleep. It's still raining, and it's still raining. By 11 o'clock, she wakes me up. There's 2 feet of freaking water out in the parking lot. By noon, it's about 3 or 4 or 5 feet, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's halfway up the door of my car. My car is almost underwater. Now we get to the point where we say, well, is anybody hungry? Because I'll make a run over to Popeye's Fried Chicken. And they said, well, no, but there's a market over there. Why don't you go to that market? Well, when I went down there, there's the only choice I have is to wade through the water, right? So I'm chest deep in this, Chris, walking through this water in my bathing suit, chest deep. And a guy goes by me in what they call a piro. You know what a piro is? A piru or a piro? It's a little bass boat down in Louisiana. All them Cajuns go bassing in, you know. And the guy's going by me in a little motor. Go, hi, how you doing? Great. Yes, he's got a boat and I'm waiting. And I make it to the market, and the market's on a piece of high ground. So literally, I've left my apartment, gone down into a lake. I'm walking through this lake, and by the time I get to the parking lot of the market, I'm up onto dry land again. I got a bunch of food and crap. Come back to the apartment. And then, of course, I got to call a radio station. And I said, look, I can't come into work tonight, man. I'm underwater over here. And they go, yeah, no, we understand. It's fine. So we're stranded for the night. But the next day, the water began to recede. And when I finally did get my car out of the parking lot and I drove up onto the freeway, I could look down to the parking lot of the apartment complex I lived in. Not only had I parked my car on the lowest piece of ground, but the apartment complex that I lived in was on the lowest single piece of ground in that whole area. So, in other words, Dumbbell here was underwater while the rest of New Orleans was drying out. So I was like, imagine me living in a house in a lake and everybody else is sitting on the shore. That's where I lived. Now, we've had floods in California because we got a thing out here called flood control channels. Maybe you've seen on the news really tragic stories of kids. They fall into them and they go sweeping out a flood control channel. It's a drag. And these kids are so stupid. They think, wow, I can go down there, man. It'll be something like right out of like a Disney World ride or something. And it'll be like, you know, riding the rapids. And next thing you know, they're dead. And so we have these things, and they were built to control flooding, because a lot of L.A., I don't know if you've ever heard of L.A., is referred to as a basin. If those of us who live out here, they're always talking about the L.A. basin. It's almost as if we live in the bottom of someone's sink. You know, we're in the L.A. basin, right? And right over there's the drain, and right up there's the faucet, and I'm in the basin. What are you going to do? Wash my hands? Oh, no! So we live in the L.A. basin, and occasionally God wants to wash his hands, right? And we got a lot of floods out here, but nothing like what you cats in the rest of the country, especially people down south, have to deal with. And you're tougher than me. Tougher than me. The only thing I can handle out here is I got a really bad sunburn. And let me see, what else? Occasional windburn. And, oh, yeah, I wrenched my back body surfing the other day. But other than that, I can't complain. We certainly hope that when it does hit New Orleans, it... You know, one thing about hurricanes, when it hits land, it begins to slow down. Not much, but a little bit. And, you know, New Orleans is on such low ground. Plus, it's right near a huge lake called Lake Pontchartrain. I guess all you cats can do is hide out with the vampires over there in the mortuary or, you know, get into your basement. The other problem I've got are mud swallows. They're putting those nests on the side of my house. It's so dirty. 1-800-449-8686. Chester Shunt joins us in a moment with some hurricane fortification tips. You won't want to miss that. And we also, of course, this evening will have Sew Me Up So Tight I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. Our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now the Phil Hendry Show presents Chester Shunt, everyone's favorite carpenter, with hurricane fortification tips. Here's Chester.
Hello, everyone. This is Chester Shunt. I'm one of the world's great carpenters. I'm also a blithering idiot as the result of a nail gun accident. So just bear with me, because sometimes, even though I'm a good carpenter, I can't find my own way home. Now, today on hurricane fortification tips, I understand a lot of you are worried about those windows caving in. What you have to do is reinforce those windows, okay? Bobby? Give me those 2x4s, huh, Bobby? Attaboy, let me have it. Here you go, there's Bobby. Isn't he something? He's the only guy dumber than me, huh? Isn't that right, Bobby? Okay, Bobby. Now, you give me those 2 2x4s there. Now, folks, what Bobby's going to demonstrate with us is how to cross those boards, okay? Just to cross them. They're perpendicular to each other. You know, perpendicular? Okay, you want them to be perpendicular to each other. And you're going to nail them in there, just like that. Bobby, go ahead and drive the first nail in there, okay? Just be very, very delicate, though, because I want to make sure that we're very careful here. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yes! What are you doing? You nailed my hand in there!
Look at that. He nailed one of my hands into one of the boards. You blithering idiot. Thought I was stupid. All right, look. Nail the other one in there and just...
Yeah!
You jackball, you nailed another hand into the board. Will you not nail my hands into the board and nail the board together, Bobby? Please, Bobby? Do it. Yep, you did it. Yeah.
Ah!
Now you've just nailed my feet and my hands into the board. Do you understand, you fool? I wanted the boards nailed together. I didn't want to be nailed to the boards. Wait a minute, who is that?
Oh, my Lord. My Lord Jesus.
Now, wait a minute, ma'am. You've got this all wrong. Hold on for a minute. I'm Chester Shent.
Lord Jesus, I knew I'd have this vision of you. You've come to answer my prayer. Please, my son, he didn't mean to murder that family of eight in a farmhouse in Kansas. Get him off of death row, God. Oh, Jesus.
I'm not Jesus, lady. I was accidentally nailed into them. I'm a carpenter on TV. Don't you see the cameras?
Whatever you say, God, it's cool with me. Boy, a long time, hasn't it been? You've been up there? I thought you rose from the dead or something.
I'm not Jesus! I just look like him!
Chester Shunt and Hurricane Fortification Tips. Brought to you by Trix. Silly rabbit, Trix are for kids.
Look, lady, what are you doing, saying the rosary now?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's a vision.
It's Jesus!
Ah! Heal my hunchback! Heal my hunchback!
Sheesh.
Chester Shunt's Hurricane Fortification Tips, a service of the University of San Diego and outlying community colleges. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is on the line with us now. Bobby's going to be on the show tomorrow night, along with her husband Steve Dooley. They're from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And never a dull moment around here. Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing really fine, Phil, although I thought that
Well, go ahead, say it.
I think that the piece of material you just did was very tasteless. I really do. And
well, I'm not here to ask you your opinion of what I do on my show. I wanted to ask you what you're going to do on the show tomorrow night.
I don't think it's funny to have a handyman nail himself onto a cross and then be mistaken for Jesus Christ. Do you think that's funny?
Yes, I do.
He thinks it's funny, Steve.
Jesus, man, that's a very bad taste, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, I think it is funny. I think if Bob Villa nailed himself onto a cross and that people thought he was Christ.
Well, he looks like him.
Well, you do have me there. Bob Villa looks a lot like Jesus. But look, Phil, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how lucky in our community we are that we don't have to deal with hurricanes. My heart goes out to the people who live in Florida.
Well, you know, the people in Florida are without question.
No, it's Florida, not Florida. Florida.
Not Florida?
I'm sorry?
Florida.
What do you mean it's Florida?
That's the proper way to pronounce it, Florida.
I said Florida.
No, it's not Florida, Florida.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry, Florida. I live there. I never heard anybody say...
Well, yes, you did. If you live there, you heard people say Florida.
Well, maybe that was their East Coast accent. I didn't know that it was actually the way that you... Look, whatever. So you're here to say that the hurricanes are a very terrible thing for people to have to deal with. And that hold on for a minute, will you? That freaking Chester Shunt.
Is he still there?
Mr. Henry, as long as I'm up on this cross, would you mind handing me that chalice of wine?
Get out of here! Go ahead, Bobby.
Phil, I think the hurricanes are... It's just God's way of flushing the toilet. You know, that's what Steve said.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I'm sorry?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, Mr. Ray, we don't mean disrespect. It's the way God pulls the chain.
What do you mean that's the way God pulls the chain?
Well, when they have a hurricane, it kind of swirls around and around and around like a toilet bowl. And all the bad stuff goes down.
Yeah, all the bad stuff goes down.
What bad stuff? You know, people are losing their lives in this thing.
I don't mean people. I'm talking about bad architecture, a lot of old boats, needless outhouses, trailers that are not properly rooted to the foundation, things like that.
Oh, I see. So when God sends a hurricane our way, he's flushing all those down the toilet.
Well, it's just that maybe that part of the country needs good flushing.
You know what? Both of you guys, when you call on a program tonight, I hope you get something better to talk about than that.
Oh, get you. You just had a guy on who crucified himself. You're really something.
Pain in the ass.
What do you want now, Chester?
Do I even look a little bit like Jesus?
No, you don't.
You know, so the landscaping in New Orleans and Alabama is so horrid that the...
Bobby and Steve Dooley tomorrow night, 1-800-GOD'S-FLUSH-IN-THE-TOILET.
Did you ever get that when you were a kid? What's the thunder, Daddy? The Eskimos are bowling. That's what I used to get. 1-800-449-8686. Is it hot in here, or am I coming down with a fever? Yeah, you know what? Chris is brand new to board hopping today because Mark Newman is sick. Can you turn the air conditioner up in here, Chris, if you wouldn't mind, man? Because I get working pretty hard on this show, and my head turns into, like, it feels like it's the top of a thermometer. If my body were the nice, slender thermometer, my head would be the...
That's pretty funny.
What is?
You call your body the slender part of the thermometer. Your body is more like the top part of the thermometer and the slender part's your head.
I ain't asking your opinion. I'm just saying it's hot in here, so turn the air conditioner up. Freaking hot, man. www.philhenryshow.com is our website. www.philhenryshow.com. Go to our website, pick up a backstage pass, and you can go into our comedy archive. And again, our best of CD for the year 2003 is on sale there, but not for long because the 2004 is going to be coming out very soon. The new Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. You won't want to miss it. Well, the hurricane that is off the coast of Louisiana, it's called Hurricane Ivan, is bearing down on the Gulf Coast with winds packing, as they say, in excess of 150 miles an hour. It's a Category 5, and basically what a Category 5 means is it can pick houses up and just throw them places. That's what a Category 5 is. It is not something that you say, well, I'm going to ride it out. Just get your little hiney into your car and drive really fast in the opposite direction. Don't be playing games with it unless, of course, you want to be found underneath some corrugated tin. If you want to be found with your legs sticking out under corrugated tin, then stay there. Because, you know, one minute you're saying you're going to ride it out, and the next minute, Jack, you rode it out all right. You rode it out over five states. And when they finally find you, they find a pair of pants, a wig, some socks, that's it. They find your fright wig, your socks, your underwear. Everything else is just disintegrated in the gust of wind that blew your butt over there. Now, these old-timers, you love the old-timers? Oh, hell, I've been around here, I can do the thing. You know where they find those guys? They find them whale food. That's where they see, these cats that love to talk to you about how long they've been around and they've seen it all. Yeah, they've seen it all. You ain't seen this one. I'll never forget that guy, Harry Truman was his name. He was the old man that didn't want to leave Mount St. Helens. You remember that? He sat up there on Mount St. Helens. He was going to sit there in his cabin. He'd seen all these volcano scares before. And when Mount St. Helens went up, the only thing they found of Harry was just the idea of him. It was just sort of some bad... I think they found his glasses and one fake eyeball. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're coming back with Jeff Wagahusky, baby.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We have a news item here, and I wanted to get on the line with me, Jim Randolfi of the California Chamber of Commerce. The news item, and I know you wanted to talk about this, Mr. Randolfi, and I'm not sure I know why, but I'll read the news item. And this is out of AP. Having sex with corpses is now officially illegal in California. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a bill barring necrophilia in the state of California. New legislation marks the culmination of a two-year drive to outlaw necrophilia in the state and will help prosecutors who've been stymied by the lack of an official ban on the practice. And, Jim, why are you on our program tonight, and why have you been on several radio shows today, including John and Ken, of course, and the Bill Handel Show?
Phil, the reason why we have asked for time is we really do want Governor Schwarzenegger to rethink the signing of this legislation. We think there still is time to send it back into committee in the state of California because we don't think it is in the best interest of the tourism in the state of California.
Are you saying that the fact that necrophilia was not illegal in California was having something to do with tourism?
there are a great many things that draw people to the state of California, Phil. Please understand, we have some of the most beautiful topography and terrain. Our national parks and state parks are among the most beautiful in the world. We have almost 1,000 miles of beautiful coastline. We've got great cities. We have exciting nightlife. And yes, we had, up until the signing of this legislation, we had the full legal opportunity for individuals to have sex with a dead body, and it has, and believe me, Phil, when I tell you, this is not what I enjoy.
Nor I, sir, but is it the kind of thing that you would encourage people to partake in?
It was legal, and while we did not encourage people to partake in it, I can show you numbers that tell us upwards of 15 to 18% of all tourist trade in the state of California last year was driven by individuals coming to our state desiring to have intimacy with a corpse. And as I know it sounds...
it's ghoulish.
It sounds crazy, but I, as a member of the California Chamber of Commerce, my job is really to help keep the economy healthy in this state in terms of promoting our business. And if I can get people into the state, I don't care if I can get them into the state if they made self-mutilation legal. If it was okay to saw your own penis off with a skill saw, I would agree. And I said,
well, that's just as ghoulish, sir.
No, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, a little bit hyperbolic, I suppose, or facetious is the word I'm looking for. But I will say to you that it is my job to...
Well, sir, what if it was legal to commit murder? What if it was legal to beat your wife? Would you encourage that?
If it was legal to commit murder, obviously no. But of course, if it was legal to commit murder, I guess we wouldn't consider it to be such a heinous thing. If it was legal to beat your wife, I don't think, murder is obviously much worse. And if a man wanted to come into the state of California to beat his wife, and it was legal to do it here, and it caused him to purchase in our businesses, to spend money in our restaurants, to spend money at a variety of our different enterprises, to spend time at our beaches, if it encouraged investment in dollars in the state, I would have to say I'm in favor of it.
All right, sir. So up until yesterday, it was legal in the state of California to have sex with a corpse, and because it is now illegal, we're going to be missing out on somewhere of 15% of tourism.
Those are the numbers that we've got, yeah. Now, I would...
And you're asking Governor Schwarzenegger to reconsider this?
Well, I am asking the governor to reconsider the signing. He can send it back into committee because it's not, it's a victimless crime. It is a, there is no, how do you hurt, he's dead, and really only one group of people partake, men. Women can hardly have sex unless the rigor mortis is set in some areas, but you see, I'm...
All right, look, and I don't want to get into how it's done, sir.
I forgive me, I didn't mean...
No, you're getting into the specifics. I'm not interested in how it's done.
Please forgive me, I didn't mean to get into...
I just want to know, is this really a healthy thing to promote, even if it does bring money into the state?
Well, again, Phil, I have to point out it's a victimless crime. The guy's dead, he's laying there on a slab, or he's on the ground. I don't know if you ever saw the marvelously wonderful piece of material that Sam Kinison did.
Yes, very funny where Sam's a corpse and somebody's having sex with him, yeah. But this is something that was legal in the state and is now illegal, and it's going to hurt our money and it's going to hurt our tourism. You want it back.
We do want it back. I've got a petition that was signed by a number of people. Among them, we have the signatures here of Tom Hatton. We have the signatures here of Jerry Dunphy, Tawny Little. A lot of people who want necrophilia legalized, not because they do it themselves. Please understand, Jerry Dunphy has he's stayed far away from that for a long time. As far as I know, Tawny Little she's sworn it off. But I'm saying to you that.
All right, look, you got your signature, so you have fun with the governor, okay?
What are you blowing me off? Let me tell you something, pal. If it wasn't for me, you.
Well, there you go. We are already in an economic rut here in the state of California, and now you can't have sex with a corpse here. Thanks very much, Governor Schwarzenegger. You've just taken a few more businesses and flushed them down the toilet. What about the millions and millions of people that have poured into this state year after year to have sex with a dead body, and now they can't? Well, you know what this means, don't you? It means Arizona gets all their business. And frankly, I think a dead body keeps in the cooler weather of California much better than it does in the heat of Arizona. Thank you. Oh, here he comes again. What do you want, Shunt? Don't you want somebody to pry off of those two boards? You look like Jesus hanging up there.
I know I look like Jesus hanging up here, and I'm beginning to like it. Look at this.
What's that? It's a straw hat?
Yeah, look what's inside of it.
It's about $400.
Just put the hat here at the bottom of the cross. I'm hanging here looking like Jesus. People are dropping dough in it.
Will you get him out of here, bud?
All right, here we go, Mr. Shine. I'm going to carry you out of here. Look, don't I look like Jesus carrying Jesus on a cross?
Oh, that cat is just, he's baked. He's baked. That's what happened to your stash, Chris. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You know what? It was a funny, very bad day.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm just refreshing my weather page to take a look at Ivan, which is now, and I'm just using my, just this sort of rule, literal rule of thumb, where I know Orlando and Miami are 250 miles apart, so I apply that sort of rough little scale to this. And yeah, Ivan's still about 150 miles away from, because how fast do hurricanes go? I mean, not fast, at like 5 miles an hour or something? I mean, they're not traveling at all that rapid a clip. We do have some entertainment news coming up in just a moment. We have Jeff Dowder with some weather tips for you, especially in inclement weather. Madonna has traveled to Israel. The pop star arrived in the Holy Land on Wednesday on a spiritual quest, including visits to the graves of revered rabbinical sages, and Israel was abuzz with excitement over the presence of a major star. However, some were perplexed by the raunchy diva's interest in a particularly esoteric side of Judaism, and rabbis said she had no business studying holy texts because she's a slut. No, they didn't say that. Rabbi, why don't you think Madonna's... Well, she's a slut! Madonna, who has been very critical of President Bush's war on terror, ironically is Jewish, and has traveled to Israel, a country which has been the victim of terrorist strikes for almost 60 years plus. What's in her head? What is she thinking? How does she possibly kind of put these things together in her mind so they coalesce into something sensible? We don't know. Guy Ritchie put her in a movie, and we can't figure that one out either, said the rabbi. Interviewed was Uri Orbach, a popular talk radio host and an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, who said, "Who can know?" Now, moving on to other news. Hold on for a minute. What, David?
Why, you anti-Semite. You...
What am I... What did I do?
Who can know? Who can know, huh? What a Jew-hater.
You're the guy that called me up and said, why don't I do a Jewish impression? What the hell do you want from me?
Watch it. I'm Jewish.
Jewish, huh?
Yeah, there's Jews in Mexico.
Anyway, Madonna and friends flew into Tel Aviv Wednesday evening on a private jet and drove straight to their downtown hotel in a convoy of limousines escorted by police. It's the kind of protection the average Israeli citizen only gets in their freaking dreams, said Uri Orbach, popular talk radio host. Lori Goldenberg Stern Rabinowitz, I'm not kidding, a culture writer for the Mariv Daily, said Madonna should only die of cancer. Madonna's picture appeared on the back page of the Mariv Daily, while the mass circulation Yediat Aronat, or Are You, announced the visit on its front page, saying, here she comes, old gap tooth. If Madonna and David Letterman had kids, would he have any teeth in his mouth? Asked the popular talk radio host Uri Orbach. Madonna, who had thought about marrying David Letterman, said in a recent interview for Time magazine, if we had a kid, you could drive 16 trains between his front teeth. Now, on to other news.
You anti-Semite.
Sean Penn was at the popular Toronto Film Festival. He had on sunglasses and was smoking a cigarette, even though he was indoors and there were no smoking signs everywhere. Mr. Penn, who is hoping to have people confuse him with someone who is a great, important auteur, was there to talk about a new movie called The Assassination of Richard Nixon. It traces the meltdown of a man by the name of Samuel Bick, a failed husband and salesman, and a self-described grain of sand, whose mounting frustrations drive him to make an unsuccessful attempt to hijack a jetliner and crash it into the White House. Based on fact,
The story is set during the time of the Watergate scandal with newscasts and footage of Nixon's speeches. Now, you know what that means, based on fact, don't you? It means they got his name right. That's what that means. The guy's name was Samuel, or maybe it was Samuel Blick, or Flick, or, well, based on fact, but very loosely, the story is of a man by the name of Samuel Bick, who actually owned a very successful pharmaceutical company and raised four happy children in farmland in Nebraska. However, once Sean Penn got a hold of it, the guy wants to fly a jetliner into the White House. Based on the fact that the guy's name was Samuel Bick and he was a man, the assassination of Richard Nixon is yet another ponderous, oppressive, long-winded piece of crap from Sean Penn. A young man who would have us all believe his life is difficult, even though he was born with a silver spoon parked up his rear end, him and that fat brother of his. Which, by the way, his brother is actually a great actor. And so Sean. What the hell am I saying? It's just, I wonder if Sean recognizes what a, like, caricature of himself he's become. You know what I'm saying? How many times can you be photographed sitting on a rock in the desert with a surly James Dean / Charles Starkweather stare in your eyes, with the cigarette dangling from your mouth, and the wind-whipped pompadour, and the sort of the t-shirt rolled up like you're, you know, Marlon Brando meets James Dean meets Sonny Barger meets Rabbi Rabinowitz? And you're looking kind of angry and dissatisfied, and, dude, that look went out at about 1959, man. Sitting up there with the smoke and the shades, like, who, what, you're all of a sudden, who likes to smoke and wear shades, other than the Pope? Never mind. Jeff Dowder joins us now on the line. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing real good, Phil. I'm enjoying your commentary about John Penn. It's pretty funny.
All right. I want to get on to the question of what not to do in inclement weather. We certainly have had a summer full of it, and I know that you've done a little bit of research on this.
Well, I have, and people will be surprised, Phil, about a lot of the things that people commonly do, never not think about it, and then when they do it, you know, next thing you know, you've got a problem. You're going to have a very big problem if you do a lot of the things that you do when it's inclement. Right now, back east, of course, we have Hurricane Ivan, packing winds of over 150 miles an hour, very strong, violent, and deadly winds, should be hitting the United States in a few hours. I'd like to let people know, if there's lightning accompanying that storm, that also can be a very dangerous thing. And one of the things you do not want to do, and every year we got to remind people of this too, Phil, it's nuts. Every year we got to say it over and over and over again. You don't go outside wearing a tin foil hat with a shape like an antenna, okay? Please, people, let's you know, I know it's fun, especially our senior citizens who, every time there's a hurricane, senior citizens, as you know, Phil, will be found dancing in the street in their nightgowns with tinfoil hats. The other thing that you...
Wait a minute.
What?
I've never heard of any seniors dancing in the street with tinfoil hats during a hurricane.
What part of the country are you from?
California.
Well, see, I'm originally from that, I'm originally from North
Carolina?
Yeah. Okay. The other thing you don't want to do is hang glide. And, you know, a lot of guys say, well, I think I'll go hang gliding because the winds are about 150 miles an hour. But all that's going to happen if you go hang gliding and winds at that speed is you're going to be a blood smear on the side of a B of A building. So, you know, and with just a little bit of fabric from the hang gliding thing. So you don't want to be just, you don't want to just have one long blood smear along the side of the freeway or whatever. Another thing that you don't want to do, and I'm always curious about people, because we have repeated this over and over again, and yet we always see these stories in the news about people who sit on roofs wearing capes. Dude, it's a...
Wait a minute, man. Where have you read that?
What?
A cat goes up onto a roof in 150-mile-an-hour winds wearing a cape?
Oh, it's very common, especially in Florida. Along the Gulf Rim, yeah.
Along the Gulf Coast?
Yeah.
Meeting Alabama?
Yeah, the coast of Alabama, Mississippi. It's very common to see people relaxing wearing a cape on a roof.
All right, so what else?
Another thing that people, you know, a lot of people love to have toast parties down south. You know, I always see people drag their toaster outside just to make toast. And never you never fails. There, you're making toast, and it starts to rain. Dude goes, well, you know, it's raining, but I just want to get one more piece of toast going. Turns on the toaster, water goes in, bingo, you got yourself a crisped up guy. So these are things that we want to remind people about, and certainly when the MC Hammer parachute pants come back in, that's going to be something you may want to avoid, at least in the short term. I have about six pair myself. I think they're very relaxing. I feel very, I feel very kind of sensual in them, I guess, if I could say that. But I wouldn't go outside wearing parachute pants in 150-mile-hour winds. But then that's me, and I'm different from a lot of people. This is Jeff Dowd reporting, Phil Henry Show.
Where is this guy coming up with this crap about guys sitting on the roof wearing capes in 150-mile-an-hour winds? What, Jeff?
I'm sorry, I forgot one other thing. People, I've said it before, I'll say it again, don't do handstands outside because you'll blow over. Now...
All right, so there you have it, folks. When the winds are 150 miles an hour, don't go on your roof wearing a cape, don't hang glide, and please, all you senior citizens, don't go outside in your pajamas wearing a tinfoil hat. Coming up next hour, Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm talking to a hole in my face with Sheila Skelly and Dr. Joe Briscoe. Gardening tips with Greg Groom. Jeff Wagahusky reviews the new Star Wars DVD box set. And tomorrow night we have Bobby Dooley and Hal and Viola, along with Ted Bell on Friday night from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And on Monday night, the Tim Robbins Report and the Harvey Wireman Senior Chat are back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Tomorrow night on the Phil Hendry Show, Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Also, teen peer pressure tips from Hal and Viola, the senior citizen couple that flies constantly to Laughlin in their private Piper Cub, only to have it stall somewhere over the California desert. That's all coming up tomorrow. This hour, we have Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, our plastic surgery special with Sheila Skelly and Dr. Joe Briscoe, and Greg Groom's gardening tips. In a moment, a little flashback from our show yesterday. Margaret Gray was on, and we'll hear what she has to say in support of John Kerry. It was her campaign 2004 report. And... oh, yeah, I just heard a load from Pelton. He's expecting me to believe that he just saw on the news. And let me just quote Pelton. Dude, I swear it, I saw it on the news, end quote. A guy is surfing up in the north coast somewhere, like Oregon, Washington, Northern California, and a great white shark comes up out of the water, grabs the guy with his mouth, and dives in and kills the guy. Bull crap. I ain't buying it. If anybody can actually verify that with photographs, email them to phs@philhenryshow.com. Get out of here. You saw it on the news. You saw footage of this on the news. A great white shark pulling a guy down off of a surfboard down below the waves, and the man was eaten.
He was riding the wave. The shark came up the wave, took the guy off his board, and went back in the ocean.
Yeah, and then when Jaws went off the air, what was the next movie on the million-dollar movie?
It was I put on Fear Factor.
Well, you know, I want to tell you something. These shark stories are really beginning to tighten my jaws just a little bit. You know, ever since we found out about 2-3 years ago when the shark scare reached a zenith that sharks really don't like the taste of people and that when they attack us it's a mistake, it's almost as if we feel kind of neglected. It's like, oh man, he's not really a big enemy after. He's not really a horrible menacing creature after all. He's just a big dumb fish. He's a big, dumb fish that eats a lot of other fish, and sometimes he thinks we're a fish. That's how stupid a shark is. And the fact that he, yes, causes very serious injury to some human beings, it's not the shark's fault, it's not the human being's fault. It's just the clash of species in the natural habitat. So all of that prehistoric mysticism that we like to attribute to sharks is just a load of old rubbish. Just a load of old crap in a wheelbarrow, sitting out back waiting for Grandpa to spread on a dichondra. Sharks are just big, dumb fish that are so stupid, when they see a cat on a surfboard, they think he's a walrus. And then they take a big bite out of him, and they've got indigestion for 3 days. Do you know what it's like for a shark to eat a human? He doesn't get off the can for 4 days. He doesn't get off the shark can for 4 days.
You still in there?
Yes, I'm still in here.
Well, what did you go and eat the human being for?
I didn't know. I thought it was a walrus.
Oh, God. How many times am I going to tell you a walrus is big and fatty?
I know what a walrus looks like.
Well, then why do you do it?
Look at Ethel. I tell you what to do, okay? I'm sorry.
You're always overeating.
It's what I do. I'm a shark, okay?
Oh, you men are all alike. What are you doing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Need more paper?
Yeah, I need a couple of more rolls. I'll be in here for a while. Freaking human being, man. If I find out, I'm suing the company that put human into that tuna meat.
Well, you know you get botulism.
I know it's botulism. See, if a shark eats a human being, they sue the same way we sue if we get, like, food poisoning from canned crab. I love crab. What's this crap in it? Well, it's human. What? All the big public service announcements down in Sharkland, stay away from human. Many of you, of course, and if you detect any human in your canned crab meat, please contact the Federal Shark Food and Drug Administration, you clowns. Thank you. I'm Jaws. Some jazz-like, I don't know, you know. But these shark stories are beginning to really wear me up, because the truth is this. Sharks don't even like the taste of us. They avoid us whenever they can. How come it is that we get so much film footage of sharks? If they're such man-eaters, how is it I'm always seeing guys down there in frogman suits with cameras, like they haven't got a care in the world, and there's sharks swimming all around them, and when the shark comes near the guy, and all he does is go, boo, the thing flees with its life. How big and bad can these things be? Even a great white, I'm told, doesn't like the taste of a human. And a great white shark coming up out of the water in the on the north coast up there in California and Oregon and eating a surfer, that's got to be the dumbest freaking great white I ever saw, other than that one that ate Robert Shaw. Boy, you talk about dumb. Yeah, how long do you think that shark was in hell after having eaten Captain Quint? Oh, man. Oh. We're going to have to operate. He's got Quint in him.
Oh, somebody would have told me I was eating Shaw.
Hooper! Remember Robert Shaw and Jaws? He can't stay down with three barrels in him. Not with three barrels, he can't. God, was that cat. He made that movie. The big, plastic, stupid, fake-looking shark and everything. Remember when the movie came out, we thought the shark looked real? Now you watch it again, it's, oh, boy. The only time it looks really cool is when they first see it and it's cutting through the water and it's kind of going amidships there. And that's the great line where Dreyfus says, got to be a 20-footer. And then, of course, Shaw goes, 25. But when he bites into Quint and then he goes, oh, man, I could have had a freaking V8. Eating Shaw is like eating bad rum cake. You know how we avoid all that lousy, nutty cake on Christmas time and that Mission Pack crap? That's how sharks avoid human meat. All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. Coming up on the program, we will have some gardening tips in the Sew Me Up So Tight segment. But right now, Margaret Gray from yesterday's show. Margaret was on to say that she supports John Kerry. Why? Because she supports Teresa Heinz Kerry, a strong woman, unlike Laura Bush, who thinks she's just so great and so special because she's married to the president.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, I'd just like to say that not all women, and I capitalize A-L-L women, are not for Teresa Heinz Kerry. And I think Laura Bush is a fantastic lady, a moral lady, and a gracious lady. And they have my vote 110%.
Well, I think that Laura Bush comes off that way. I agree with you, Kathy. I think that she is very good at getting women like such as yourself or whoever to believe that. But I'm a little bit, excuse me, I'm a little bit different. I've been a journalist for 30 years. Just look at her. You've had girlfriends like this. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, look at me. Look at me.
I've got a mother that is gracious like her. I can see her the way she is, as a wonderful Christian lady and a wonderful supporter of her husband who keeps her mouth shut when the time is right to keep her mouth shut. And you can't say she doesn't have a backbone because she doesn't show it in public because she has grace.
No, I didn't say she doesn't have a backbone. If anything, I'm saying the opposite. I'd say, don't you have girlfriends? You know, they got a brand new Cadillac. Oh, don't you think I'm better than you? That's what she's saying. She's better than you and me.
I have to disagree.
She's married to the president, and she thinks she's all that and a bag of chips. And I'm saying, women such as yourself, Kathy, women such as myself, on November the 2nd, the feminine napkin statement, I think, is one that we can make and make forcefully.
Well, you know what? I'm old-fashioned. I like my husband to open the door for me. I'm teaching my sons to open the door for women. I like we walk on the inside of the curb. We don't walk on the outside. I think that's old-fashioned. I think it's respectful. And I think it's gracious and nice.
Yeah, that is kind of cool, Kathy. I mean, I still walk onto the other side of my wife on the street side. You know.
Well, all of that is really nice, but I'm talking about the feminine napkin statement. I want to know where Kathy stands on that.
On the what statement? I'm sorry.
On the feminine napkin idea that we had for the Kerry campaign.
I don't agree with the Kerry campaign at all. I think Lisa Hines Kerry opens her mouth too much, and I think she's absolutely. I think she, if all honesty,
you're kidding
me. I don't even like to speak like this. I think she'd be a disgrace as a first lady.
I agree. I think the woman is.
You know something? You don't know her the way I know.
No, I agree. I think that outburst in public against her husband was embarrassing. He showed himself to be almost on a leash. Boy, you talk about a guy being on a leash. I bet you she reads in the Riot Act. And I don't think there's anything charming about the woman. And for you to fly, this is what she wanted to do, Kathy, soak tampons in Heinz ketchup and fly them from car antennas.
Yeah. You're not catching anything on my antenna, except for a campaign.
All right, then you go ahead and vote for Laura Bush, and every day for the next 4 years, you'll look at her, she comes on TV and says, basically, hi, Kathy, I'm Laura Bush. I'm married to the president, and you're married to a loser.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I like the way Margaret says loser, just like George C. Scott in The Hustler. Eddie, you're a loser. Laura Bush, I dig her. I don't know why I dig her, I just dig her. I mean, I ain't really heard her say that much, you know? Laura Bush is cool with me. You know why? Because I'm old-fashioned, I guess. Although I liked Hillary Clinton. Now, what's that make me? Weird? I guess it does. Maybe I just like people to be themselves. Hillary Clinton was a woman who was herself. People didn't like her. You know, I'm a guy, I'm like most people. I go for the underdog. And when somebody's beating up somebody, especially because she's a woman and she happens to have opinions and she happens to have a job other than being a first lady. But by the same token, if she's a Laura Bush, who's a class act all the way, I admire that. And that Teresa Heinz Kerry, with all due respect... you know, why don't you just go get yourself another suntan, baby? Get another coupon for the tanning salon and get out of here. With your big fat mouth, you know what? I bet you she's bugging him every day.
Then do I get to go talk again? I like the nitty.
Jesus, I can't have you out there, Teresa.
What are you talking about?
Please don't make me do it, all right? It's a disaster having you up there. The public opinion poll.
They love me. They love.
Oh, okay, Zsa Zsa.
What are you saying to me, John? Are you saying that I can't be a part of the campaign? You promised me. You said you were off the business. I get to be a part of the campaign.
I don't want you out there, okay, you sow?
A sow? So that's what it is, huh? You call me a sow.
I didn't mean to say...
No. You married me for my money, didn't...
How many times we got to go through that? I didn't marry you for your money. Not much, anyway.
No, you married me for my money. My late husband, Mr. Heinz... The man who invented ketchup and, you know, the cocktail sauce.
Well, that stuff I can't stand.
So you marry me for my money, and not because you love me.
Love you? Baby, you're about 20 years older than me, okay? Sure, I love you. I love you the way I say I love my great aunt, okay?
That's it. I'm cutting you off.
What, from sex?
No, money.
That I can't take. Cut me off from sex, that's fine. I get plenty every time I go down to the VFW hall.
That's it?
No, nothing at all. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show will be back with Sheila Skelly and Dr. Joe Briscoe with our plastic surgery segment. They'll be talking about the great work that Joan Rivers has had done. That's coming right up.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You would stick an ice pick into a baby to save a cougar in a bush.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now the Phil Henry Show presents Sew Me Up So Tight I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. With me, Sheila Skelly.
And me, Dr. Jack Briscoe. Hello, Sheila.
Hi, Jack. Well, today we're going to talk about plastic surgery and how it is really a benefit for everybody and anybody. We're really about plastic surgery on the show, aren't we?
We sure are. We believe that it can help anybody, and I mean anyone, even infants as early as 6 months old. If they need their noses lifted, maybe their ass pumped up a little bit, their ears widened, the head, the cranium shrunk, we can do it all.
There isn't a human being within the sound of our voice right now that couldn't benefit from plastic surgery. It's helped me. You can see my breasts, my butt, my face, my hair bear absolutely no resemblance to what I looked like just a year ago. In fact, here's a picture of me.
That's very nice.
What are we talking about today? I'll just ignore that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to react that way.
What are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about one of plastic surgery's great achievements, great triumphs, if you will, Joan Rivers.
Oh, she's lovely, isn't she?
Joan Rivers is, well, she's more than beautiful. She's almost, people's jaws drop when they see her.
She really is stunningly gorgeous, Jack. What makes her that way?
Well, Sheila, as a plastic surgeon, I can tell you professionally, Joan has had so much work done in the area of plastics. She's been plastically reinforced in the cheeks. She's got a nice lining of plastic in her forehead. She has a plastic reinforcement on her chin and neck. And in other words, there's so much plastic in her face that it can't ever wrinkle. She's always going to look young, fresh, and sexy.
Isn't that wonderful? Are we going to meet her today? I hope you're not teasing me.
We are going to meet Joan Rivers in just a moment, but I do want to warn all of our listeners at home, and certainly you, Sheila, that Joan does have a lot of plastic in her plastic surgery. In fact, the plastic that has been used is a specially malleable kind called C4. Do you recognize that name at all?
Isn't that highly explosive?
Yes, it is. That's why be very careful. You don't want to kiss her or hug on her or anything like that. Joan is very friendly, and here she comes. Ladies and gentlemen, Joan Rivers. Yay!
Oh, where am I? Am I in New York? This can't be New York. I can breathe. Is this New York? No, it has to be New York.
No, you're in Los Angeles right now, Joan. Thanks for joining us on Sew Me Up So Tight, You're Talking Through a Hole in Your Face.
Oh, this is so great. Well, I heard what you said about my face. I've got a lot of plastic in it.
What? I'll tell you, you're a good-looking woman. I'd love to kiss you, but I know if I do, your face will... There'll be a full what we call face... Not explosion, not implosion, but overplosion.
Really? What is that?
It's when her whole face just goes off like Nagasaki. So remember, she's got plastic surgery, so don't kiss her, Sheila.
Well, you know, Joan, you are so good-looking. I think I do want to go lesbian and give you a full lip lock. Oh, please do!
No, ladies. Ladies, you don't know what you're getting into. Please don't do that.
I just want a lip lock. Please do!
Not her face! Don't kiss her face! You dykes. This has been Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. Join us again next week with Sheila and Jack and another plastic surgery success story from Hollywood. How about that, Chris? Joan Rivers' kisser went up like that, man. She's got so much plastic in her face, it's like blowing the door off a safe. Wow. Well, what do you think, Joan Rivers? You think she's good looking? See, here's the thing. When I see somebody with plastic surgery, it has to be pointed out to me. That's number one. I don't know. My wife, if you're married, women know. They see wigs. They see nose jobs, ear jobs. Guys miss it. Not every guy, but now I'm beginning to look for eye. I see a lot of eye jobs on people. I see the eyes just look a little bugged out. There's something faintly Asian about certain people that shouldn't look that way. Here's how you spot an eye job. If the guy looks Chinese, but he's, like, from northern Scotland, you know what I'm saying? I saw this dude. I was sitting in a place called the Sagebrush Canteen out in Calabasas, California one night. Okay, great place to go. You can party and dance. And I'm out there with my wife and another couple, and there's this cat sitting at a table not, you know, I don't know, 10 feet away. And the dude had just had the eye job done. Now, I'll tell you what he had. He'd had the full face tightening eye job, and he might even have had, like, hair, you know, grafted in. But he had a, you could tell he was, like, 50, and he had a scary-ass, youthful 28 eyeball. It was just, the eye was, in other words, if I knocked on a door and that dude answered the door, I there would be some pain down the left arm. I would, you know, somebody get me just, can I get a glass of water? First thing I'd ask for before I said, hi, is your daughter home? Or hi, would you like to buy an encyclopedia? Would be, could you get me a glass of water, please? Why? I don't mean any offense, but your face. It's just your face. This is the Phil Henry Show. Coming up, Greg Groom's gardening tips. Yeah.
(1-800-449-8686) The world famous Phil Henry Show. (1-800-449-8686) The Phil Henry Show is back.
This Hurricane Ivan is now turning northerly, and if I know how to read a weather map, and I probably don't, so I would suggest you go to the, you know, like go to the Weather Channel website or watch one of the weather channels. But I'm just looking at this. If the color coding is corresponding the way I'm reading it, because it says here the light green is light rain. There's light rain over New Orleans. It's heading north. It looks like it's going to miss the eye of the hurricane is going to miss New Orleans. Although all of that rain in that band, that's some pretty rapid winds, isn't it? So it's about 135 miles an hour, the wind, which is much less intense than it was a few hours ago and earlier in the day when the thing was a Category 5. I don't think 135 is a Category 5. It's a 4, and Category 5 is basically disaster. Category 4, ain't, you know, that we're not talking block party. We're not talking pool party, but at least it's... you know, there are things that people can do to save structures and so on. But right now, it looks like that the center of the storm is going to miss New Orleans, and it's heading right up toward Mobile, right? So if you're in New Orleans, you're going great, and the people in Mobile right now are going, well, gee, thanks a lot for that news. So it looks like New Orleans will be saved, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the Big Easy, the French Quarter, and all that water will play going to be saved, and it's going to just trash Mobile. Thank you, God, that... Hi, I'm calling from Mobile, you turd. What did you say? How about the people who drove the Mobile to get away from New Orleans? Now they got to turn around and go back. I told you that story, too, didn't I? About a million times. I only got, like, two hurricane stories because I've only been in, like, one. But I drove all the way to West Palm Beach only to find out the freaking hurricane was going to West Palm Beach. I had to come back down to Miami. And I went, it's, you know, I said to the guy, gee, you got a lot of hotel rooms here. I wonder why. He says, maybe it's because the hurricane's coming here, you idiot. Anyway, sir, have a nice day, Mr. Henry. Love your show. So, and this is the radar that I got. And then they got this thing called the satellite radar. This is a beautiful thing. If you go on the Weather Channel the Weather Channel website, you can take a look at their satellite imaging from 18 billion miles into outer space. In other words, if you were a Martian, this is exactly what you'd see, because I don't have it now. Somehow I lost it. But there's also a thing called Storm Track, and this will show you where it's going. And it's heading to the United States. I mean, the map is so huge. It has a thing tracking from Cuba all the way on up into the U.S. Right now, Hurricane Ivan is 29.5 northwest, whatever the hell that means. It's 55 miles south of the Alabama coastline, 135-mile-an-hour winds. It's going 12 miles an hour, and... life's a beautiful thing if you're living in Arizona. 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, bud. Bring him in.
Hey, Mr. Groom. Come on in.
Greg Groom is going to join us right now. How you doing, Greg?
Oh, very good, Phil. Thank you. Thank you.
You want some water, Mr. Groom?
I'd love a cup of coffee with just a very little bit of cream.
So, Greg, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you.
And we're going to do gardening tips today, huh?
Well, we're going to learn how to appreciate a little bit of God's beautiful name. I heard you talking about the hurricane, and certainly nature can be an imposing presence in our lives. There's no doubt about that. But nature is also to be enjoyed. And what I take great pleasure in, Phil, is coming on programs like yours and speaking to listeners, such as your listeners, and imparting to them my enthusiasm for nature and for gardening. And you're going to teach us how to appreciate...
Here's your water, Mr. Groom.
Thank you, bud.
Okay, you can leave now, bud.
You want anything else, Mr. Groom?
You can leave now, bud.
No, bud, I'm all right. In fact, Phil, I will need bud.
You need bud?
Yeah, come on back, bud.
Come on back, bud.
All right, okay, Mr. Groom.
Okay, so today we're going to learn how to appreciate the smells of nature, is that right?
We are, Phil. You know, nature is in intrinsically a spiritual experience, I think, and sensory as well. There are sights and sounds and smells, and there isn't anything more transcendent, Phil, I think, than the smell of a flower and the smell of a beautiful bed of roses or pansies, gardenias.
I like gardenias. My mom had gardenias.
Gardenias are wonderful. And what I want to teach you today, Phil, and your listeners at home, is how to appreciate the smell of a beautiful flower. Now, I want everybody at home, and you can do this too, Phil, if you want, to take the two fingers from your right hand, the two first two fingers here, those two.
All right, these two next to my thumb.
Yes. And separate. Put them in your nose, Phil.
Okay.
And pull those nostrils as far apart as you possibly can. Pull them apart, further apart.
Okay, well, I'm pulling them as far apart. What am I supposed to be doing?
What this is doing is it's bringing blood flow back to the olfactory sense. And because we have used our olfactory, which is our sense of smell, so very little, we don't have a lot of blood flow. So pull it apart.
All right, I'm pulling my nose as far apart.
You know what? This is why I want Bud. Bud, would you come here for a minute?
Yeah, Mr. Groom.
Use both of your fingers. Pull Mr. Henry's nostrils.
Watch out, Bud, will you?
Well, he told me to do it.
Well, just be careful, will you? God! It hurts, okay?
Further apart.
Okay, how's this?
What is he doing, Doc?
Now, Phil, all right, that's good, bud. Just keep them spread apart like that. All right, now, bud, take these flowers there in your right hand.
Okay.
And wave those under Mr. Hendry's nose. And now, what do you smell, Mr. Hendry?
Oh, God, it smells like human waste.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to wash my hand. I just...
Get your fingers out of my nose!
Oh, you gotta go wash.
Yeah, let me go wash.
You had your fingers stuck up in my nose?
Yeah, I did wash my hands. I knew the segment was coming up.
I guess that didn't work out, did it?
No, it didn't. Pull my nostrils as far apart as I can. Let me smell those Yeah, those smell like roses. That was his hand that smelled like crap.
Well, there you go. Let me say something, Phil. Seriously.
All right.
When you go out to enjoy nature and you bring some flowers back, be sure you wash your hands first if you've been to the toilet.
That's great. Thanks so very, very much. I know those are words I can live by.
Are you being facetious?
Just get out of here, will you? And tell Dickman to wash his hands.
I'm washing them.
Am I being facetious? Yeah. That's what I'm being, man. 1-800-449-8686. We've got, we got some more of your phone calls to get to here on the Phil Hendry Show. And I don't know if I can stand any more guests. Because if Bud starts bringing them in here before he washes his freaking hands. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Living on the edge, always teetering, never quite falling off.
The Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Boy, this Hurricane Ivan, I'm just interested, and I'm not going to go into a whole big thing, but I just so you know, just as it was heading to New Orleans, it made a, all of a sudden, just made a right turn. Like it just kind of bounced off of the, like New Orleans had a protector's shield or something. What do they call that thing in Star Trek? Deflect, like New Orleans had a deflector shield and it went boing, just bounced right off. And now it's heading on up into Pensacola. But I, the winds, the outer perimeter of the hurricane, I understand those winds are the quickest, so maybe I'm speaking through my thing. A little bit of news here on the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I was just talking to our good friend Chris here, filling in for Mark, and he was talking about having, well, I don't want to mention any names.
Dish Network.
And he said that their tech support is like in, I mean, you know how they're outsourcing gigs, but he said he was talking to some cat on an island, you know, like off of Africa. He couldn't even understand the dude's all, the guy was like clicking. You know, what is that, man? I want to get some tech support for my computer, right? But here's the bottom line. You can't keep businesses from doing what the hell it is they want to do. Look, we have environmental laws. True. You do not have the right to dump gas and crap into the river and into the air. But we don't have a law that says you don't have the right to give jobs to non-Americans. That's not in the, you know, that's nowhere is it written that jobs are not, you know, companies can't hire whoever the hell they want to hire, wherever the hell they are. Now, that's the reality and that's the future. Now, you can either accept what the future has in store and adapt, or you can beat your chest and say that you're going to fight it, and you're never going to fight it. What are you going to do? What's Bush or Kerry going to do to keep some guy from outsourcing gigs to another country? What's he going to tariff their ass? Is he going to lay a whole lot of tax on them? Is he going to penalize them and fine them, or otherwise not make it so lucrative for them to do business if they start outsourcing gigs? Well, guess what, Charlie? Then they just move their whole damn country, their whole company over there to another country. Then they move the whole damn shooting match to Madagascar. And then it becomes Chevy of Madagascar. What are you going to do? All these jobs that we've lost. Well, if you look where we lost the jobs, we lost them in the recession, the post-9/11 recession. A lot of them were going away as the result of the action of you know, the Federal Reserve before Bush was ever elected. You know, when the interest rates went up and companies started to tighten belts, some of the jobs went away then. Not a lot of them, but a few. And then after 9/11, a whole lot of jobs went away, man. And nobody explained to me yet how you keep jobs from going away after something like that. And on top of that, he didn't explain it to me how you're going to keep a company from saying, I think I'm going to hire myself a bunch of dot heads to answer the phone for Pink Dot. I think I'll hire a bunch of freaking dot heads to answer questions about the Mitsubishi remote.
Hello, Mitsubishi.
Oh, yeah, this is great. You're just like you're right next door, huh? I'll hire a whole bunch of cats that go home and play a flute to a snake so they can tell me all about how I, you know, how I can better utilize my Lynx barbecue. Meanwhile, that guy is Lynx barbecue. You know what a Lynx barbecue to him is? It's an actual Lynx cat being barbecued. It's a real-life cat being barbecued. How could that cat, you know... Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, sir. How are you?
Great. Listen, I wanted to find out a little bit more here about this. Now, you say that if I... See, because my Jaguar, I get about 45 to the gallon. Now, I'm out on the superhighway.
What are you talking about?
All right, so... That's what's going to, you know, look, you either adapt or you die. You either adapt or you die, baby. That's the law of the jungle, man. How many of you guys believe in, I believe in evolution. I believe we came from apes. And ain't nothing that bums me out about it. I don't feel degraded. I don't feel humiliated. At one time, the human species was a monkey-like thing hopping from rock to rock. Big deal. Some of us still do that. Just going out to Joshua Tree on a Saturday afternoon. You that monkey-like thing you see hopping from rock to rock? Yeah, he goes to SC.
And part of the social evolution and Darwinians, you know, social Darwinians, you either adapt or you die. The guy's going to keep doing... And this cloning thing, what do you think, they're going to make that illegal forever? We're going to be cloning people the next 100 years. That's the way people are going to be reproduced. Forget about it. You're not going to stop that. You're not going to stop gay marriage. Things that work survive. Things that do not work don't survive. That's the story of the human race. In other words, in your own life, do you finally get a clue as to how to live your life better after you kind of fail a few times? The human race is just like anybody's life. We went along and we stumbled and we fell and we screwed up and then we wore loincloths and then some guy put a spear through us. We decided we'd reinforce it with steel and then that wasn't good enough and we started launching, you know, this, that, and everything else. And we finally get to a point now. The human race has gotten to where it is today and we have improved over 10,000 years, whether people want to believe it or not. We have gotten better, smarter, healthier, bigger, stronger, more tolerant. Our societies are cleaner. We treat our underprivileged better. We treat our maimed and our injured better. We have more respect for each other than we possibly did 300 years ago. But along the way, in the short term, it looks kind of bad. You know, well, I don't know about how these outsourcing jobs, this is terrible. Taking all these jobs out of America, what does it mean? See, people that say, well, I don't believe in one world government. What do you think is going to happen in the next 300 years? Do you honestly believe in 300 years there's still going to be nation states? Do you really believe that in 300 years we're just going to be a Slovenia, Latvia, they're all just, hail Slovenia, 300 years strong. Come visit Slovenia this fall. Bull crap, man. It's going to be one big, fat world. Happy and fat. And healthier. And smarter. Outsourcing, there won't be... 300 years when they outsource a gig, man, there'll be some freaking Klingon telling you about DirecTV. This is Worf. Welcome to DirecTV. Yeah, hey, listen, Worf, I can't get the NFL games, man. I see. Anyway, so that's that, man. So don't worry about it. And my good friend Chris there says, yeah, he can't even understand this guy on the other end of the line. Well, forget about it. And some guy to sell you a bill. I'm just going to tell you, I ain't saying who. Any guy that says to you he's got a way to keep it from happening is lying through his teeth. Any guy that says to you he's going to save your Social Security and make sure that it'll make prescription drugs less expensive, that guy's so desperate, I mean, you want to throw him a life preserver. Every time I see the good Senator Kerry, I want to either throw the guy a life preserver or a freaking anchor. I don't know which. Film festival focuses on the right. Michael Moore was a no-show at the first ever conservative film festival held outside Dallas last weekend. The liberal movie maker's absence is not a surprise since that, and here's the punchline, that film that earned a 2-minute standing ovation was the world premiere of a documentary called Michael Moore Hates America. There were 24 conservative-minded films screened at the 3-day American Film Renaissance Festival. So this is a film festival that features only conservative movies. That's about as stupid an idea as Talk America is. The whole reason why Talk America, which is a liberal radio network, is a stupid idea, is because conservative hosts came about as the result of listeners wanting to hear them. Just simply saying, oh wow, I think I'll turn this on, this is really fun to listen to. It wasn't some conspiracy launched by some large, bald-headed man with spectacles sitting someplace with a cob wedged and a big freaking cigar saying, but I've got a conservative on the air. It was some cat who made it big up in Sacramento, California by the name of Rush Limbaugh. And I said, wow, this dude's got an audience. I think I'll bring him to New York and see what happens there. And guess what? And then he said, well, there's too many conservatives. The reason why is because apparently it sells. Apparently people listen to it. Do you get it? You're going to go out and start selling liberal radio. That's not how conservative radio started. It was organic, and it was audience-driven. Talk America ain't audience-driven. It's maybe what the audience expends at the end of a long day of eating-driven. Any more than a conservative film festival is a bright. That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard of in my life. What they ought to do, enter your freaking movie at Cannes or Can or Can't. I think I'll start calling it the Can't Film Festival. How come? Because I can't get my movie shown there.
Thursday, Bobby Dooley and Hal and Viola. That's tomorrow night on the Phil Henry Show. Join us for Hal and Viola and their team peer pressure segment. Will their Piper Cubs stall and crash in the desert again? We'll find out. Bobby and Steve Dooley will join us tomorrow night as well from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Ted Bell on Friday night. Don't forget, on October 1st, we're broadcasting live from Salt Lake City. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.